What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. I'm just going to jump right into today's case. It's an unsolved disappearance. There is not a ton of details, but I included everything that I could find about this young man. And his name is Christopher Tompkins.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of this case at all.
Yeah, I hadn't either, and I actually found it in a Reddit group, not one that I participate in, because I don't really get into, like, the whole Reddit thing, but
yeah,
occasionally I'll use it for, like, motivation for cases, because they really get into some deep stuff.
They do. I honestly just recently downloaded the Reddit app because there was something I was looking up. It had nothing to do with true crime. I don't remember what it was. And
maybe
it was like it was like use the app for better experience. And then I accidentally clicked on it, and then I was like, whatever, I'll just download it. So yeah, I'm not a Reddit girly, but I know that it is, like, there's some good information on there, and obviously then you have to verify it, but, like,
yeah. Well, I didn't use it for any of my sources, but I found the name there, and it was like, what?
Awesome.
It was like one of those, like, what case just completely baffles you, and a girl commented Christopher Tompkins. So,
okay.
And I was like, well, got to deep dive into that, because I've never heard that name. So
I'm yeah,
tell you all about Christopher Tompkins.
All right.
So he was born on December 28th, 1981, in Harris County, Georgia. His mother, Ann McKenzie, described her son as friendly, hardworking, and outgoing. So in 2002, Christopher had recently gotten saved, which is in Christianity means that you, like, give your life to Jesus and you're basically forgiven of your sins. And that made his mother very proud because she was a devout Christian.
Okay.
When Christopher turned 20, he began working for a surveying company, which my husband works for a survey company. So I had to, like, reference some things with him, and he was like my little inside source.
I love it.
And by all accounts, Christopher really enjoyed working there, and things seemed to be going well for him. I mean, he's young, you know, it's not like he was experiencing anything, you know, traumatic or anything like that. But just being in that weird space between high school and, like, figuring out, do you want to go to college? Do you want to do a skill trade? Like, what am I going to do the rest of my life? Can be overwhelming.
I remember that.
So, yeah. His mother, Anne, it sounds like she's the one who kind of got him the job, because she was working as a babysitter for the owner's family. So I guess she, like, introduced them to her son, said he was looking for a job, and he began working for the survey company. And she was happy that Christopher found a good job that he really liked.
Aww.
Everything seemed to be going really well for him, but suddenly all that changed on January 25th of 2002 when Christopher vanished into thin air. Oh
my gosh.
According to his mother, Anne, the day Christopher went missing, he left home about 8:10 a.m. He parked his car at his workplace and rode to the job site with the other surveyors he worked with, which is very common. It's a very common thing. Park it at the office, get in the work truck, and everybody, you know, travels to the job site.
Right. Makes sense.
Christopher was part of a four-man crew, and that day he and the three other employees were working in a lightly wooded area off of Interstate 85. The workers were about 50 feet from each other, walking in the same direction, and they do, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, survey crews on the side of the road. It looks like they have cameras and they, like,
do
shots and stuff. So, you know, they might take a few feet, take a shot, take a few feet, or walk a few feet, take another shot.
Right.
So sometime after they took their lunch break, one of Christopher's co-workers stated, quote, Chris was walking in the same direction as the others, and when I looked away and looked back, he was gone.
Huh. That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
His coworkers assumed that he had walked into the woods to relieve himself, which is a common thing that surveyors do while working in the woods because they can't just hop in the car and go to the closest gas station every time somebody has to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And when they hadn't, you know, when he hadn't returned several minutes later, they were like, that's weird. And they started searching for him. But they mentioned they hadn't seen anything out of the norm. So it wasn't like alarming, but they were just like, maybe he fell, maybe he got hurt. Like, let's go check out the area and see what's going on.
Okay. They're like, you know, it's kind of weird, but like, it's not super concerning yet.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So after they searched for him for a while, in some sources, it's reported that they called police and reported him missing. But in other sources, it says that his mother called the police and reported him missing. So it's kind of unclear which one is accurate. Okay. But one thing that is consistent is that Anne, his mom, was not informed of her son's disappearance until around 4:15 p.m. So,
okay,
you know, around 1:30-ish is when he disappeared. And then she was notified around 4:15.
Okay.
Unfortunately, due to the laws in their county, Anne was required to wait 24 hours after Christopher's disappearance before she could officially report him missing.
Why? It makes no sense. Like, especially in this, it's like, it's not like he was on a day off and went out and didn't come home. He was literally at work.
In the middle of the woods.
In the middle of the woods with a bunch of people doing his job, and he disappeared. Like, what if he got hurt and the crew couldn't find him? Like, she needs to be able to report him missing so that there can be more resources. Like, he could have slipped and fell and was like stuck somewhere and not able to get help. And, you know, his coworkers couldn't find him in their initial search, and had they've been able to report him missing and a proper search of the area done, like, maybe he could have been found. Like, I don't know. Yeah. That might not be the case here, but still.
That was my thing, too, is like, what if he was walking to use the restroom and he, like, fell into a well, you know?
Because yeah,
it's like a wooded area. There could be wells there. I mean, chances are, because surveyors, usually when they go out to jobs, like, they have a plat, so they kind of know where certain things are, but not everything on the property is reported or properly reported, so things can get overlooked.
And he could have just, like, slipped and fell and, like, broke his ankle or something and then, like, couldn't get up. Like,
knocked himself unconscious. Yeah. So while Anne understood, you know, this thing that they had to do, she could not just sit around and wait.
Good for her.
So Anne, along with other members of their family and community, decided to conduct their own search for Christopher. During their initial search of the area where Christopher was last seen, they found one of his work boots. They found some of his work tools. And they also located a blue fiber from the pants that he had been wearing that day that was stuck on a barbed wire fence.
Okay.
They also found 12 cents on the ground located near some of those items. Yeah. Christopher's other work boot would be located about 6 months later, miles away from the original boot in a wet, marshy area.
Even more bizarre. Okay.
Yeah. So the owner of the property, which it sounds like he was like a farmer, stumbled upon the boot on his property, on the edge of his property, and notified authorities. And sadly, when the authorities arrived and they searched for anything else, any other clues, there was no other signs of Christopher on the property.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's unclear why his co-workers who had searched the area before the family didn't find any of Christopher's belongings themselves, but that doesn't really say too much to me, just in the sense of, like, maybe they didn't do a broad search of the area, whereas his family and friends probably did. Maybe they just kind of searched, like, in the nearby proximity.
And because it was, like, you know, they thought it was weird that he was, like, not there, but it's not like he was... It wasn't as concerning yet, I feel like. Whereas once the family searched, it was like more urgent. Like, okay, he's been missing for a couple hours. Like, there's clearly something happened to him. So the search was probably a lot more thorough.
Right.
And like the coworkers, they're in the middle of their work day. Like they probably just searched and then they're like, oh, maybe he like left or, you know, something like that. Like they probably weren't as, it wasn't as urgent for them. So it wasn't as intense of a search.
Right. And they're like, not to stereotype, but like they're just dudes out in the woods working, so like they're not gonna be all paranoid and jump to conclusions like we might, you know.
Right. And again, it was early on, like they didn't know he was even technically like officially a missing person yet. Like, you know, they're just looking around and then they're like, oh, maybe he took off. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. So the following day, on January 26th, the Harris County Sheriff's Office began their own search for Christopher.
Finally.
Yeah. Sheriff Mike Jolly said they took his case very seriously and did everything by the book.
And I'm not blaming the police because it's just their protocols. Like, it's just what they have to do based on their protocols. It's just the, like, overall system of, like, why is this a thing?
Right. Because like, it should never be a thing to begin with.
Yeah. And, but it's, so it's great that they, you know, once they were able to officially be like, okay, he's missing, they took it seriously.
Right. And they jumped, I mean, from all accounts, they jumped into action. Good. They brought in cadaver dogs and searched the woods and the ponds nearby. Unfortunately, their small department had limited resources, so they ended up calling in the help of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations.
Okay.
So the GBI took over the case, and they conducted their own extensive search of the land and wooded area where Christopher was last seen. And it sounds like they took it pretty broad. So if you remember earlier, I mentioned it was like on the edge of Interstate 85. They actually crossed over the interstate and searched the other side interstate as well. So they did a pretty broad search of the area where he was last seen.
Okay.
Initially, investigators were convinced that Christopher left on his own volition. They presumed he must have either hitchhiked somewhere or had someone pick him up and either wanted to go on some wild adventure or possibly start a new life.
Okay, but his work boot being found, like, why would he have taken off his shoe if that was the case? Like,
well, they do say, like, later, they change their opinion of what they think happened.
Okay.
Like, pretty, you know, a few different times. And at one point they said, like, they thought that maybe he was high on drugs and took his boots off, but he had no history of drug use and he was not currently using drugs, which I know, like, not everybody knows that their loved ones are using drugs or things can change, but it just doesn't sound like, according to his family and friends, like anything like that was a possibility.
Yeah.
And his mother did not buy any of that for a second. Like, she was like, no, he's not going to start over a new life. Like, why? Everything was going so well for him here.
Yeah. No, from everything you've said, no.
Yeah. Then, according to Christopher's employer, he had been acting strangely leading up to the day of his disappearance. But once again, his mother, Anne, disagrees. She stated that she saw Christopher every single day because he lived with her, and he seemed like his normal, happy self. There was no indication that he was unhappy or wanted to disappear, and she did not think that he had been acting strange at all.
Okay.
Thankfully, the investigators, along with a lot of the public, have since changed their minds as to what truly happened to Christopher. But no one really knows. There's just a lot of theories floating around.
Okay.
After he disappeared, police assumed Christopher would eventually reach out to his mother since they were so close, but that day never came. Christopher's mother is still greatly distressed over her son's disappearance.
I bet.
She detailed in an interview with the Ledger Inquirer, quote, "I am not a citizen with great influence. I am simply a grieving mother who wants to keep his case in the public light in hopes that one day someone will come forward with information with what happened to my son. I truly believe in my heart that my son is no longer alive. However, I need closure. I need to know what happened that day and where my son's body is."
Yeah, I mean, even if you do believe that, like, he's no longer alive, still not having answers and not having closure, like, even if it was an accident and he got hurt or there was no foul play involved, it's like, how are you ever able to properly grieve and...
You can't.
Get that closure, yeah.
Because even though you believe he may be deceased, until you have that proof, you're always going to hold out that small mustard seed of hope.
Yeah, really. And that's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah. Christopher's co-workers were questioned by the police, but they are not believed to be suspects in his case. However, one of the co-workers did obtain an attorney in the weeks after Christopher disappeared.
Okay.
And I will say that his mother, Anne, she suspects, allegedly, that he may know more than he is leading on.
That's definitely suspicious, getting an attorney for, like, seemingly no reason. It's not like he was brought in to be, like, questioned as a suspect or anything like that.
Right.
The only thing I will say is I wonder if he has any type of, like, record or criminal past.
Well, my next little tidbit was in one of the sources I read, and I couldn't verify it because none of the coworkers' names nor the surveying company that Christopher worked for have ever been released to the public.
Oh, okay.
But in one of the sources, it did say that this individual who allegedly obtained this attorney was arrested for a violent crime and is currently serving a lengthy sentence.
Oh, interesting. My original thought was I wonder if he had already had a criminal history, and so that's why he got an attorney. He was like, just in case they, like, try to question me, like, right. I have a record, whatever. But now that you said that, yeah, which is totally valid. But now that you said that, I'm like, I wonder if he was involved, or just, you know, maybe he did have a history and then he ended up getting caught for something else later and he just got an attorney just to, like, protect himself in case.
Right.
But,
like, unrelated to Christopher's disappearance, but trying to cover his own ass, or allegedly involved in some way, shape, or form and wanting to cover his own ass. But we don't know because their names have never been released, which is, like, wild to me.
Yeah, that is crazy. But also, like, if they're not suspects, I get why their names aren't released. Yeah. But it's frustrating.
It is. It really is. In 2009, a hunter came across some skeletal remains in Harris County, not too far from where Christopher disappeared. I don't think it was in, like, the same immediate area, but it was, like, you know, in the next neighboring area, if you will.
Right.
And GBI investigators, along with volunteer firefighters from across the area, searched in and around the wooded area where the remains were originally discovered. The searchers found part of a skull, some leg bones, and pelvic bones, and they had sent off the remains to be analyzed. Unfortunately, when the results came back, it was determined that the remains did not belong to Christopher.
Okay.
And I tried to find out who those remains belonged to, yeah, but I was gonna say. there was nothing. I mean, I, like, Google searched every, like, possible form of words, sentencing, everything, and, like, could not find out who this individual was, because, I mean, somebody else.
Yeah.
A potential disappearance, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
But maybe they're just holding on to that information because they're trying to build a case for someone else. In January of 2014, Christopher's family and friends held a vigil in memory of him. During the vigil, his aunt, Rosalind Mathis, spoke out about how the last 14 years had been completely awful for her without her beloved nephew. Mm-hmm. She stated, quote, "Christopher had recently learned what it was to be saved. He had given his life to Christ. He was just an outgoing, good guy." The candlelit vigil included songs, prayers, and lots of tears. Christopher's loved ones are looking for justice and pray that they will one day have answers.
Yeah, because something happened to him. Like, again, whether it was an accident or foul play, like, something clearly happened to him. I do not believe for a second that he left on his own volition.
I don't either. And there are just so many unanswered questions to this case. Like, for me, why were his boots off? Like, did he run for some reason and kick them off? Because, you know, work boots are heavy, and chances are, like, maybe he didn't have them, like, you know, tied up real tight. Maybe they just fell off when he was running. This is me just theorizing, but... but even still, if that was the case, why was one boot there and the other boot located so many miles away?
Right. That doesn't make sense to me at all.
No. And then the question of if he left willingly, wantingly, why did he leave his tools behind? Because he could have used those in his new life, quote unquote, new life, to work. Or
to sell them.
Sold them, exactly, for money so he could get started. I mean, it just doesn't add up.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
And why would he leave in the middle of the workday? Like, that just doesn't...
No.
When, because had he wanted to leave, why would he leave when people would be looking for him shortly after?
Yeah, I mean...
like, that doesn't make sense.
The area that he disappeared is very rural. I guess it would be a good place to, like, hide out until you're, like, in the clear to run away for sure. So, I mean, I could definitely play devil's advocate and argue that. But the other details just don't support that theory.
No, not at all.
But there are tons and tons of theories from this, like, for this case, from his coworkers allegedly being involved to a wild animal attack to aliens and Bigfoot.
Jeez.
But there is just not enough evidence to prove any of those theories, because if he was attacked by an animal, there would be blood, there would be signs of a struggle. It just... there was just nothing. And I mean, in the wilderness, I feel like things can be overlooked and the elements can affect the scene, but there's just nothing to point to any plausible theory, honestly.
No. And because of, like, even though official searches weren't done right away, it sounds like the family and friends did a pretty solid, thorough search.
Yeah.
So the fact that nothing was found makes me think that maybe he was taken somewhere.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think that for some reason somebody harmed him either accidentally or intentionally and took his body somewhere else and buried it or dumped it. I mean, there's nothing to support that, but that is maybe the more plausible theory.
Yeah.
Christopher Tompkins is a black male with black hair and brown eyes. At the time of his disappearance, he was approximately 5'9 and 130 pounds, and his hair was braided. Today, he may have a mustache, beard, or goatee. Christopher has a tattoo on his right arm of an ice cream cone and another with his nickname Chris written vertically. He was last seen wearing a black shirt, a blue and gray plaid jacket with a gray hood, navy blue Dickies work pants, and tan Timberland boots, which they located those, so a black skull cap and a black watch, none of which have been located. Christopher would be turning 43 years old on the 28th of this month. Please help his family get the closure that they so desperately deserve.
There has to be answers out there. No matter what it was that happened, there's answers. And
somebody knows something.
Yeah, his family deserves those answers.
They really do. If you have any information regarding Christopher's case, please contact Harris County Sheriff's Office at 706-628-4211, or you can reach out to the GBI's office at 706-655-5842. They also have a tip line at 1-800-597-TIPS, and I will link these contact numbers in our show notes below. But that is all I have for you guys today on the unsolved disappearance of Christopher Tompkins.
Wow.
Please, please, please share his picture when we post it on Instagram, Facebook. Get his name out there because he hasn't had a lot of media coverage and there's not a lot of people advocating for his case aside from locally.
Yeah, and somebody might know something or see something, or, you know, you never know. So spreading his name and picture and all of that is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you guys so much for listening. We will have a new case for you guys soon. But until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.